19, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17. It's the story of those 10 men that were lepers, and they saw Jesus at a distance, and they cried out to him for mercy. Now, as a preface to this passage, you know that they had heard something about the Lord Jesus and his healings and of his cleansing. In fact, just hold your place there. As far as in the chronology of Jesus' life, I'm not sure whether this happened first or second, but in Matthew 8, it says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And this is after the Sermon on the Mount. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, if you knew anything about leprosy in the Old Testament times, they had to keep themselves away from society, from their families. They were basically banished and outcasts. They had to wear torn clothing. And if they got near anyone, they had to have a covering over their mouth because their breath was considered infectious. This man walks up to Jesus. Remember, we're not in the New Testament times yet. They're still under the Old Testament law. And this man put forth his hand and touched. Jesus, rather, put forth his hand and touched this man. Now, normally you would think that would be a no-no. But listen, anyone whom Christ would touch would be made clean. This man came in faith. He asked Jesus to heal him, to cleanse him. He said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now back to Luke chapter 17. Had these 10 lepers heard about this? I don't know. But hence the story goes, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, which that's what they were supposed to do. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And in the Old Testament, if you were going to be considered or pronounced clean, the priest had to do it. You had to go to the priest. And so he said, go show yourself to the priest. Of course, as they went, they saw that they were cleansed. There's 10 of these lepers. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his, that is Jesus' feet, and gave him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Let's ask God's blessing. Father, help us, we pray, Lord, for these few minutes to look into this passage and Father, see something that is very striking about this one man. And I pray that it would be obvious and conspicuous about us, Father, for the great things that you've done for us in our lives as children of God. Lord, I pray that we would see this. I pray, Father, that we would have the thanksgiving that this man had for Christ, for what he had done for him, both for his body and his soul. And so, Father, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you were a leper in this time, and really, this comes fast forward into the 20th century. If you were a leper, you had to live outside the camp in Old Testament Israel. In fact, let me just show you one passage in Leviticus chapter 13, three verses in Leviticus 13. In fact, you can read the whole history of leprosy in Leviticus 13, but in verse 44 of that same chapter, it says, speaks about, I'm kind of picking it up in the middle of this, is about the priest looking at someone and inspecting them and letting them know if this was indeed leprosy. And verse 44 said, he is a leprous man. he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. Of course, he's talking about his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent or torn, his head bare. He shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. Notice, he shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be. So this was how you would live in Old Covenant, Old Testament Israel, if you were found to be a leper. Now, let me bring this fast forward to the 19th century. About 50 miles from here, there's a place called Gillis Long Center. It's an Army National Guard post. It's in Carville, Louisiana. It's right on the Mississippi River. Back in around 1894, it was a condemned sugar plantation, and they decided that that would be the site where they would put people in the 19th century, the 1800s, that were infected with leprosy. So they barged them up there, and it began when they put them on barges and they brought them up there from New Orleans, and they put them off of the barges, and that's where they stayed. And this continued into the 1900s until Dr. Hansen discovered the cure for leprosy. You can read about that. In fact, leprosy is called Hansen's disease. But when I was in the National Guard, I would go to this post, and the last of the leprosy patients were still there in the 1990s. In fact, when I would go there, I met some of them personally. In fact, when the National Guard took over that post, they gave the folks that were still there, and they had some nuns that would take care of the people there. The adjutant general at the time, he said, you can stay here and live for as long as you want. And some of these folks had no homes. They had no families because it was still, they had been there for so long, and it was as if they were banished to this place. And so they decided, listen, I've lived here all my life. It's my home now, and I'll stay there. In fact, you can go in the graveyard, and one day it'd be a nice place to go and visit. There's a museum in the front. In fact, when I would go there, I actually stayed in the hospital that they used to go into. Lodging now. They made rooms out of it in the front of the post there. So it's a very historic post. But when you look in the graveyard, you go to the graves, there are many of the graves with no names, just numbers. So it's quite a thing to see. So this thing came fast forward all the way into the 20th century. I don't believe there's any of them there now. But I want to bring this, I don't really want to spend so much time on leprosy, but consider this disease that these men had. This leprosy made them an outcast from society. And beloved, our sins make us outcasts from God, the sins of our souls. Let me show you what David wrote in the Psalms, Psalm 38. Psalm 38 and verse 1. Psalm 38, David wrote this about himself. I want you to concentrate on the words that the Lord Jesus, when they cried out to him, where were they? They were afar off. They could not come near. So they were afar off. And beloved, when we're lost and dead in our trespasses and sins, when we have not been forgiven, when we have not been cleansed from our iniquities and our sins, we can be considered far off from God. Look at what David wrote here. Psalm 38, verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as an heavy burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly, I go mourning all the day long. My loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken, I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. David speaking of his sins. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me. Verse 11, my lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore. It was like he was an infected man, and my kinsmen stand afar off. Ephesians chapter 2, one New Testament reference. As great as leprosy is to the body, as terrible a disease it was to these 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17, the sins of our souls is doubly as bad. It puts us at a distance from God. Ephesians 2:11, Paul wrote here, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision. In other words, you're called unclean by the Jews. And he says in verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens, means being shut out, banished, and outcast. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's the state of a lost sinner. But now in Christ, notice, ye who sometimes were far off, like these lepers, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Beloved, from what is written in the scriptures and from what we know about leprosy, we can understand why these 10 lepers cried out to the Lord Jesus from afar off. We understand that when they saw him, he was their only hope. It reminds me of that publican. Do you remember the publican that went up to the temple to pray? You remember he had a keen awareness that he was a sinner. Remember, it was a Pharisee and a publican. It was a very religious man, a self-righteous man, and it was a publican, a man that knew he was a sinner. For whatever reason, he went to pray, and he went to the temple. The self-righteous man approached right up to the altar. The publican wouldn't get close. He stood afar off, and he cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That man, Jesus said, went down to his house justified rather than the other. He knew his place. He knew his condition. We have no idea. I've thought to myself, I have no idea what it's like to be infected with leprosy and to be an outcast from society. I have no idea how that is. When I met these folks down in Carville, you'd meet them and you realize that they'd been here in a condition of being cast out from society, looked upon as unclean. And so I have no idea what that's like. But then I also have no idea what it's like, these 10, to be completely and instantly cleansed as they went. Step into this scene where Jesus says, just go show yourself to the priest. Now they've got coverings on their upper lip. They've got torn clothes. Their skin is full of sores, being eaten away by this disease of the flesh. And all of a sudden, their flesh is nice and smooth and clean. You can imagine the experience that these 10 lepers went through to be completely cleansed. This was a great cleansing. But then I'll bring this to the spiritual side. We who are saved from our sins and from the uncleanness of our souls, we do know what it's like to be separated from God. If you're a Christian and you've been saved from your sins and you've been brought into fellowship with God, you who were sometimes afar off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. You've been cleansed from your sins. By your Christian experience, by your faith in Christ, you know what it's like to be banished from God, to be estranged from God. The scriptures teach us that we're enemies of God. We're at a great distance from God. But now to be brought nigh by the blood of Christ. These 10 men were outcasts because of a physical infirmity. We are outcasts because of our sins. For these 10, this was a great healing. It was a magnificent healing. All 10 were cleansed, but only one returned to give thanks to the Lord. And this is where I'd like to spend the balance of my time. Only one man was keenly aware of what happened. I don't know if he was keenly aware of what happened, but he became aware. The others got excited. You ever get like that? You get so excited something's happened to you and you don't thank God. How many times has God blessed you or me? I'll just pick on me. I'm guilty of it. God's done a wonderful thing for you in answering a prayer, in being gracious to you, showing you kindness, showing you compassion. And you're so excited. And there's God, like the Lord Jesus, sitting there and looking at the one and saying, weren't there nine? Where's the other nine? He says, only one returned to give glory to God. So this man, I want you to see, came back and he thanked the Lord for his cleansing. And Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. So not only was he cleansed of his physical infirmity, now he was cleansed of his spiritual infirmity. He came back and bowed down before the Lord Jesus. And now this man was not only his great healer, he was his Lord and Savior. I want you to know that this man's life was dramatically changed. And let me ask you, when God saved you, did your life dramatically change? Did your life dramatically change? The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. This man was literally new in his body. Again, I can't step into the experience because I've never had leprosy like that. But instantly, this supernatural, this miracle that happened to this man, and now it was a dramatic change in his life. And so he was a new person. As sinners who are far off from God, we ought to know what it's like to be new. When God saves a sinner from their sins, yes, that doesn't mean that we never sin anymore, but we think completely different about it. We hate our sins. We turn from our sins. We live lives of turning from our sins and turning to Christ. But listen, beloved, how often does God show compassion to us? How often is God merciful to us when we ask him? And even when we don't ask him, but we don't take the time to thank him. And this is what I'd like to finish on. Listen, I'm so glad God's goodness and grace and kindness and faithfulness to us. And let this sink down. I'm so glad that God's goodness, his kindness, his mercy, his faithfulness to us, and that he continues to speak to us in his word, doesn't depend on our thankfulness. If it did, we would probably feel often like those that are banished. Listen, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, don't turn there, just listen. The Bible says, in Christ speaking here, he said, God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. He's kind to those that are not kind to him, to the unthankful. So often that falls upon me. Beloved, we should be a thankful people, primarily to our God. First of all, for saving us from our sins, for revealing himself to us, from bringing us near to him who were once afar off. Thankfulness should be part of our every prayer. It should be part of our every day. We should praise the Lord continually for all things. Look at Psalm 34. We'll just look at a few references to help you, to incite you to this thankfulness that should be in every one of you and also in me. Psalm 34 in verse 1, actually. The psalmist writes here, David, I will bless the Lord at all times. It's kind of like saying, I will thank the Lord at all times. His praise, or my praise of him, shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Beloved, that ought to be us. Listen, it ought to be part of our character. Those words ought to be on our lips, but not just as lip service. It ought to be in our hearts. Thank you so much, Lord, primarily for saving me from my, first for saving me from my sins, from cleansing me from so great iniquities that were in me, that were against you. Psalm 95 and verse 1. Psalm 95, turn there. Listen, God's people should be a thankful people. But again, I'm so glad that God's kindness and his grace and his goodness to us does not depend on my thankfulness to him. Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Let us give thanks to him. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Listen, if you have a hard time thanking the Lord, then you need to take a little time and think about how great things the Lord has done for your soul, especially if you're in Christ. Listen, the lost have reason to thank God simply because he's God and he governs the world. Every single human that's alive today is breathing because God is governing his life. God is giving him life. And so, beloved, we ought to constantly give thanks unto our God. Psalm 136. Psalm 136. We referred to this last week. Verse 1 to 3. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. You'll know if you read that entire psalm that 26 times the psalmist repeats, his mercy endureth forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. Psalm 145, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 145, and then we'll go to the New Testament for a few, and then we'll be done. Psalm 145, David says here, I will extol thee, I will lift you up, my God. O King, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee and will praise thy name forever and ever. You know, a lot of times, and God convicts me for my own sins, is I'll begin to pray and I'll say, I thank you, Lord, for whatever it might be. But of late, I've slowed myself down to make sure that my thanks is genuine and I am truly thanking my God. Nothing's worse, of course, you that have kids, and when you say thank you. Thank you. Nothing's worse than thanking without really being thankful. And so, beloved, listen, we have so much to be thankful to our God for. And then Philippians 4:6. And listen, while you're going there, you remember when Darius in Daniel chapter 6, he signed that decree that no one could pray to any other god for 30 days. And Daniel went to his house, and you can see that in Daniel 6:10, but we won't look at it. But Daniel went to his house and he prayed just like he always did, knowing that he could be arrested and executed for a foolish decree. Darius seemed to be a pretty wise king, and Darius loved Daniel, but for whatever foolish reason, he signed this decree. And the reason that the decree was brought, because the other officials in the king's cabinet hated Daniel and hated God. And so Daniel knew that. And listen, this will teach you to give thanks for the hard things. Daniel knew it was signed. He went and prayed the same way he always prayed. And it says he thanked his God. Of course, they found him and caught him. And we know the lion's den followed that. But we know that great deliverance. Philippians Did I have you go there? Philippians 4, 6. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which God gives, which passeth or is beyond all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Learn how to thank God for everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You had a hard day, give thanks to the Lord. What did you learn? What God, what did you teach me? And so we are to learn those things. Colossians 3:15. And that's our final verse. Colossians 3:15. The Apostle Paul writes here, let the peace of God rule where? In your hearts. Let the peace of God govern you, to the which also you are called in one body. As a church, the peace of God should rule in us. And the last four words, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. Let the peace of God, the peace of Christ, rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So next time you get aggravated with someone, you ever get aggravated? I get aggravated when you do something for somebody and they don't say thank you. I mean, come on, I'm real. I get aggravated. Aggravated with your kids. You do something. You might do something great for someone. These 10 lepers had something great. I mean, their lives were changed. But only one returned to give thanks. So next time you get aggravated because you did something nice for someone and they didn't say thank you, just pull yourself back in your spurs and remember how many times you fail to give thanks when God does something good for you. And you'll be a little easier. And then you can be like your Heavenly Father and simply be kind to the unthankful. And when it arises, to the evil. So, beloved, whether someone's thankful to us or not, we will be more like Christ when we simply continue to show them kindness. But you know, sometimes in our old flesh, we'll say, well, I'm not going to do anything for them anymore. No. I'm glad God's not like that. So, God's grace to us doesn't depend on our thankfulness. Those 10, the 9 were still cleansed. I don't know if they believed Christ was the Lord. Maybe they did, but this one came back. And so, beloved, let us remember that. Let us be thankful, but let us be kind to those that aren't thankful. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, thank you. I pray that you would help us in this short lesson tonight. And Lord, help us to be a thankful people. Father, help us not to be unthankful. Help us to thank you simply because you're God and you're our creator. And we ought to. Lord, you deserve it. Like the song we sang, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. O God, help us to honor you, thank you, to glorify you, give you the credit for the good things that you do for us. And Father, help us to be thankful also in the times where we're in afflictions or trials, knowing that when you send those trials and tough times to us, Father, you're strengthening us and you're discovering your faith in us. And so, Father, we know, we need to know, and we need to believe that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for teaching me this, Lord. Help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.